Well, thank you very much for the good singing tonight, and it's a joy to come together to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We have different sub-themes that we do kind of in the evening. As you know, we've been working through Acts now for 2 years or so, and in the morning worship services, we're in chapter 20, so we still have a bit to go. And in the evening services, we'll do different things, and what I've decided to do for a bit is we put inserts out in the bulletin a couple of weeks back, giving you an opportunity to ask questions so that you could fill out a question, and then that would be something that maybe could be addressed. And obviously, I want to be cautious. If I don't address the question that you ask, it doesn't mean it's a bad question, but I prayerfully consider the different questions in light of the ministry here at Trinity and in light of wanting to be a blessing to you, and in light of what would be appropriate for an evening worship service. So there's a number of factors that are taken into account as I, again, prayerfully try to decide what would be appropriate to deal with. Now, as a pastor and as a college professor in biblical counseling, I get asked a lot of questions, and typically they're of a more practical nature. And so I'm used to people asking me questions that are related to everyday Christian living, questions that have to do with the challenges that we all struggle with from time to time. And one of the questions that I've been asked is actually the question I want to start with this evening. And so the question, the first in this small mini-series that we'll consider tonight, kind of in a Bible study format, is, I think, an excellent question. It's a question that I've been asked more than one time. And the question is this: is God ever silent? Are there times in a believer's life where life gets very hard, very difficult, very challenging, and we find that God is silent? Well, when I come across a question like this, one of the things I like to do is just Google it and try to find out if this is a phrase that comes up, if this is an issue that other people have dealt with. And there are all kinds of posts on this topic. And I came across even one here from the Desiring God website that has a picture that I encourage you to look at. You know, when you look at that picture, and that's what's posted on the website, kind of a dark evening, kind of dreary, maybe a discouraging picture, kind of a scary picture, maybe, again, communicating life is very hard and dark and difficult. So they selected that picture to go with this question of, are there times when God is silent? And as I began to read some of the different posts, I came across a number of people actually referring to different songs that are sung that reflect this. And I came across this one a number of times. I wasn't familiar with the song until, again, I went on YouTube and then listened to it. A song by Andrew Peterson. I'm really not familiar with him, but it's called The Silence of God. It's enough to drive a man crazy. It'll break a man's faith. It's enough to make him wonder if he's ever been sane. When he's bleeding for comfort from thy staff and thy rod, and the heaven's only answer is the silence of God. And again, when I come across a post that talks about a song, I think, well, that's interesting. But then when I see it come up again and again and again, I begin to realize that this must really connect with people and express at times how they would feel. And as I've been thinking about this song some, I began thinking about another song. I don't know if I've ever sung it, but the best I know, if I remember correctly, it was actually in a songbook that we used to use here at Trinity. And it's a song that is called When God is Silent. When God is silent and we don't know the way before us that we ought to go, when we've attempted to do His will and yet His silence continues still, when God is silent and all seems lost, as o'er the waves our boat is tempest-tossed, when answers fail us and doubts arise, but God seems distant, hid from our eyes. And again, I didn't really find posts related to that. I found maybe just one or two. But I again, had that memory sometimes looking in the table of contents of a previous songbook we used to have. And then that came back to my mind. But as I went through the different posts, it wasn't just these songs that came up. There were a couple of scripture passages that came up frequently. So if I were to ask you, is God ever silent? Is there a relevant scripture text that maybe would come to your mind? And I was talking to someone this morning, and they actually brought it up to me, and it was Psalm 22, verses 1 and 2, where David prays, my God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. And by night, but I have no rest. So as we work through this idea tonight, the question on the table, is God ever silent? And that's what I'd like to focus on this evening, not just as a Bible study, but something that I hope will encourage us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have given us a word that reveals truth to us, and we pray even tonight, even as we've just prayed in song, that you would speak to us through your word, that you'd help us. Well, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The question, is God ever silent? The fact that there are all of these blog posts on it, it's a theme that is certainly involved in some of the songs, and the fact that somebody would ask that question, and I've been asked it more than once, I thought maybe this would be a good place to begin. Our first point tonight, number one, it certainly may feel like God is silent in times of suffering. There are difficulties that we go through in life. You know, for us, what do you want it to be? It could be a loved one passing away. It could be a marriage partner that does not keep his or her vows. It could be a child just utterly rejecting Jesus Christ. It could be that diagnosis of an illness that you just never wanted to have, longing for something to happen so badly, maybe to get into a certain college program, to get a certain job, perhaps to just want nothing else than to be married or have a child or some other thing that's not bad at all and to just pray, Lord, help me, and it doesn't happen. And in our difficulties, in our suffering, it may certainly feel like God is silent. And I think that's exactly the way that it felt, that it seemed to David. And we've already looked at Psalm 22, verses 1 and 2, but let me put it up again. Here is David praying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. And by night, I have no rest. And I would be fairly certain, I don't know how many, but I would think, be many people here, if I were to ask privately, have you ever felt that way, that you've cried out to God, and there was simply no answer, and for you, he was silent. David felt that way. And I think many times Christians would feel that way. And thus we go through times of suffering. I think that's the way David felt. The second verse that comes up frequently, and there's actually more than one, but I just selected one, is from Job chapter 30 and verse 20. It certainly may feel like God is silent in times of suffering. I think Job understood that. You know the story of Job. Here is a man, and he's worshiping Christ. And he has put the Lord first in ways that are unusual and noteworthy. And it's actually God who says to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Job is, we would just say today in our language, a faithful believer. And then life unravels and falls apart. And as we get out of those initial chapters of Job, what do we find? We find Job saying things like this in chapter 30 and verse 20. I cry out to you, God, for help, but you do not answer me. I stand up and you turn your attention against me. And even as David mentions in Psalm 22, here is Job in chapter 30 and verse 20 expressing that same feeling, that same sense of, I don't know what's going on here, Lord. Why won't you speak to me? And thus our first point. It may feel like God is silent in times of suffering. If it didn't feel that way, I don't think there would be all the blog posts. I don't think there would be the songs. I don't think I would have received that as a question in that little Q&A thing I put out in the lobby. And so I acknowledge that, number one. It certainly does feel at times like God is silent as we go through times of suffering. So what do we do? What do we do? Well, maybe, and I'm sure that we could address this in many different ways, and if you're thinking a little bit differently than I am tonight, I'm certainly not saying that you're incorrect, but let me just share with you how I'm thinking. Not thoughts original with me, but thoughts from the Scripture. It may feel like God is silent, and I acknowledge that, but I'd like to look at a psalm this evening, just a little bit. We're going to look at two passages of Scripture, one in Psalms, and then actually a couple of chapters in Job, and then wrap things up. And what I want to do for our second point from Psalm 19 is make sure we understand this. God never stops speaking. God never stops speaking. I want you to say that with me. Would you do that? God never stops speaking. Maybe I should have did the psalm first because we're taking it on faith. But let's say that one more time. Come on. God never stops speaking. I may feel like he's not saying anything. I may feel like he's silent. Would you open up to Psalm 19, please? And we can't do justice at all to this wonderful psalm, but we can at least look at it quickly. And we can make this note in our minds and tuck this away. This might be something you want to come back and meditate on. If you've been through a hard time in life and you're thinking, Greg, there's no doubt in my mind God has been silent. I would simply say, well, let's spend a little bit of time just reviewing quickly this psalm. And then maybe by God's grace you'd come back and meditate on it. Very common to divide this psalm into three parts. And I just want to look at the first two, beginning with verses 1 through 5. God speaks to all people through nature. It's what we call general revelation. Notice, please, Psalm 19, and we start here at verse 1. The heavens are telling. They are telling and telling and telling. They are continually telling of the glory of God. And their expanse is declaring and declaring and declaring the work of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. So in the daytime, God is speaking. At the nighttime, God is speaking. Now notice verse 3. Not with words. We're not talking about hearing voices. Verse 3 says, there is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. It's not something you hear, even as you hear my words tonight. But as we look at the heavens all day long, all night long, what happens? God is speaking. It says in verse 4, their line has gone out through all the earth and their utterances to the end of the world. You can't get away from it. Everywhere you go, God is speaking through nature, through general revelation. It goes on to say at the end of verse 4, in them he has placed a tent for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. It's the idea of the sun coming up in the morning, just like a bridegroom who's going to his wedding, and he's all excited coming out of that chamber to get married. So the sun comes out and wants to say it again and again and again, because God is always speaking. He's always communicating. And then the end of verse 5, it rejoices as a strong man to run his course. And so whether you use the image of a bridegroom running to get married or a racer, kind of like an Olympic runner who just keeps running and running, verse 6, its rising is from one end of the heavens and its circuit to the other end of them. You can't get away from it. There is nothing hidden from the sun, from its heat. God never stops speaking, beloved. He never stops speaking. He speaks to all people through nature. And that's what we call general revelation. There is never a time when this ceases. That's what the psalmist is saying. Now, that's verses 1 through 5, even verses 1 through 6. God speaks through general revelation. But we see something else here, beginning actually in verse 7. He not only speaks to all people through nature, we call it general revelation, he speaks to us through his word. That is what we call special revelation. So verses 1 through 6 is all about God speaking again and again and again and again and again through nature. And then all of a sudden there's a change. And notice the verses even sound different. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. Even the way you read it changes. And it's very orderly and rhythmic and precise as we have left general revelation. And we're now talking about the Bible. God's word. And having established in the first six verses that God is continually speaking through nature, we see here in verse 7, in verse 8, in verse 9, that God speaks to us through his word. No wonder verse 10, they are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. So no doubt it is true that there are times in life where things just unravel. They get very difficult. They get very, very hard. And we find ourselves maybe even feeling like, God's not speaking to me. God is silent. Why would God be silent? And again, we got to be careful because we're all going to use words a little differently. But I want to be cautious, and maybe what I need to do is reword that a little bit. Because what I think, honestly, that our brothers and sisters and even ourselves, what we are saying at times, is not that God is silent. Even though I hear Christians say that. And just so you know, again, we can use words differently. But in my heart, when someone says to me, Greg, is God silent? My heart drops. Because I'm thinking, God is never silent. As long as there is a scripture, God is not silent. As long as there is a God who rules, even in general revelation, God is not silent. And whenever I want to hear the voice of God, what I need to do is just log on or open up. And God is speaking to me. And every time you read the word, he's speaking to you. You say, okay, so what do you think people really mean when they say God is silent? I think perhaps, obviously, it might be different for different people. But I think maybe it's an expression of the pain that we feel as we go through times of suffering. Here's the key, that we don't understand. And things happen in our lives that we would not choose. Things that you wish didn't happen in your life. Things that you would never wish on me, nor I would wish on you. And they're hard. And they're difficult. And we're saying to the Lord, Lord, please explain to me why. I mean, here I am, and I'm trying to follow you, and I'm trying to believe in Jesus, and I read my Bible some, and I pray, I go to church, whatever. And then this bad stuff, this horrible stuff happens, Lord, and I'm asking you why. And I don't have an answer. I think that's what people are meaning when they ask, is God ever silent? So that'll take us to our third point. I want to phrase it. I hope this makes sense. Number three, our third and final point. God may not answer our questions, but He always has something to say. See, there are times in life where you're struggling with whatever you're struggling, and everyone in this room is struggling, okay? There are times in life where we struggle and we don't understand what's going on, and we honestly, sincerely pray, Lord, why? Please show us. And sometimes He does, but not all the time. And sometimes in the midst of our struggles, we have no answer. God may not answer our questions, but He always has something to say. Now, you might think, perhaps, why can't I know? God should tell me why. And based on the scriptures, all I can say is by God's grace, I would implore you, never, ever, ever demand that from God. You have no right to demand that from God. I guess I better use the plural so I don't sound like I'm putting anybody down, so I speak to myself as well. We have no right to, who am I to demand anything from God? See, you can question this sermon, and I'm okay with that. You could say to me, hey, Greg, what about this verse and that verse? And you know what you're doing? You are implying that you know more than me. And you may, so that's good. But who in this room knows more than God? And when a Christian says, man, Greg, I wouldn't have preached that sermon that way, okay, that's not necessarily a bad thing. I hope you would at least say it with love and kindness if you were to say it. But how could I ever question God? In the sense, how could I ever demand that God answer what I want to know? That's what Job did. And he shouldn't have done it. I want to spend just a little bit of time in Job, and we're talking chapters. But would you open up to Job 38, please? And we'll just have to point out just a few highlights here. Job chapter 38. Job is a person who loved Christ, who followed the Lord faithfully. And as you know, the bottom dropped out. And his life went quickly down. And he didn't know why what was going on was going on. And you know what we read in Job chapter 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all the way through Job chapter 37. Now we read many things. And Job alternates, just like me and just like you. There are times of great faith and there are times of great despair. But you know what? One of the things that Job does, he demands that God answer his question. God, why? Why are you doing this? I deserve an answer. God, tell me why. Now, that's just a quick summary. And because of time, that's all we can do. But would you please look, please, at Job chapter 38. And even as I've mentioned, if you struggle with this, you might want to spend some time in Psalm 19. If you struggle with wanting to know why and demanding God answer that question, maybe you just wanted some time this week, spend a little bit of time alone with God, starting at Job 38. Let me point out the beginning, at least, of Job chapter 38, and we'll just kind of, again, hit some highlights in this section of Scripture. Please notice Job chapter 38, verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job. You know what's the number one reason we should be fearful of demanding an answer from God? Is because one day He might answer us. And it's not pretty. What does God say? Verse 2. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Let me give you a rough paraphrase. Job, why are you asking all of these stupid questions and acting like you're smarter than my counsel, Job? Verse 3. Now gird up your loins like a man, Job. Come on, Job, you think you're a man? Let's do it. I'm going to ask you and you instruct me. Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, smart guy, if you have understanding. That's what we're reading. And it goes on and on and on. And all through Job chapter 38, and all through Job, I'm just scrolling, chapter 39, do you know what God is saying to Job? Job, you really think you deserve an answer? Well, let me tell you something. You don't know what you think you know. And I owe you no answer. So why don't you stop your stupid questions, Job? Now, I would never say that to you, because if you question me, you know what? You might be right. But God is always right. And I have no right to demand an answer from God. Now, notice what happens in chapter 40. So if you need to scroll up or turn a page, again, we're just going quickly through it. Here's Job chapter 40, verse 1. Actually, let's get to the end of chapter 39. I'm sorry. We're going to start with chapter 40, verse 1. The Lord wraps this first round up, as it were. And the Lord said to Job, will the fault finder, that's what God calls Job, will the fault finder contend with the Almighty? Let him who reproves God answer it. And Job answered the Lord and said, behold, verse 4, I am insignificant. What can I reply to you? I'll lay my hand on my mouth. Wow, I shouldn't have said anything. Once I have spoken, I will not answer. Even twice, I will add nothing more. God is saying to Job, come on, Job, now what do you say? And Job is basically saying, oh, Lord, I wish I hadn't said anything. Because I've been demanding an answer for all of these chapters, and now you just put me in my place. I have nothing else to say. And God says, you know what, Job? That's not good enough. That is not acceptable. If you are going to demand answers from me on why things happen the way they do and lift yourself above me and think that all you have to say is, oops, shouldn't have done it, won't do it again. God says, no, Job. You don't understand who I am. Let's try this again. And it starts again. Notice, please, Job chapter 40 in verse 6. Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm and said, now gird up your loins like a man. I will ask you and you instruct me. You say, hey, wait a second. That just sounded like what we just read a couple chapters again. That's true. This is like round two of the fight. Because Job has still not responded properly. And so what does God say? Verse 8, will you really annul my judgment, my decisions? Will you condemn me, Job, that you may be justified? Or do you have an arm like God, and can you thunder with a voice like his? And all throughout the rest of chapter 40, again, because of time, we'll just kind of scroll through it. In chapter 41, the same thing. What God says over and over and over again, Job, who do you think you are? Do you know what I know? Can you do what I do? What gives you the right to demand anything from me? And then finally, we come to Job chapter 42. And notice this is now the second time that Job responds to the Lord. In Job chapter 42, verse 1, it says, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you, Lord, can do all things, that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Now Job is going to restate the question that God asked back in chapter 38. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Paraphrase. Lord, you asked for the person who was asking stupid questions, and challenging your divine counsel. I confess, Lord, it was me. Verse 3, therefore, I have declared that which I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear now, and I will speak. I will ask you, and you instruct me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, I retract. And this is the appropriate response of a Christian who demands to know why God does what he does. And I read it. It's the end of verse 6. And I repent in dust and ashes. And God's good with it. See, the first time Job says, God, oops, you know, I messed up. I guess I shouldn't demand an answer. I shouldn't put myself above you, huh? Sorry. And God, no, Job, we got to do this again. Second time, I repent. And God says, okay. You say, what's the point here? That God does not owe us an answer to why things happen. You might demand one from me. You might demand one from your spouse, from your parents, from your kids, from your friends. I understand that. But never from a perfect, righteous, holy God. I have no right to demand from him. None. None whatsoever. And if you're thinking, man, Greg, the way you're describing God right now is not how I'm used to thinking of him, why not? He's not my pal. He's not my friend who's kind of like me and messes up. I was going to say from time to time, but it's more often than that. He's God. He is the Lord. He is completely holy, and he never makes a mistake. And that doesn't eliminate the reality of the suffering that we go through. And in life, it is certainly true that many times we suffer. But God does not owe us an answer. And that's what my heart is concerned about. That when I hear my brothers and sisters saying, you know, it seems like God is silent. Number one, he's not silent, but what I'm more concerned about is maybe you're asking him something you have no right to ask him. Something that Job repented of. You see, God may not answer our questions, but he always has something to say. You say, okay, so here I am, Greg, going through a tough time in life, and you're basically saying, based on this text here in Job, that I shouldn't be demanding an answer because maybe God's going to answer me one day and it's not going to be pretty. That's exactly right. You say, okay, so what is God saying to me today, right now? Many things. But we already know that. God always tells us what we need to know. He always tells us what we need to know, right? What text of Scripture have we been going over and over and over again? I have it on the screen, Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 through 24. Can we read it together? Right off the screen. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. And maybe you're thinking, perhaps, how many times are we going to go through this? And when are you going to change to something else? I guess, I don't know, when it gets old. That might mean we're here a long time. Because it begins with hope and it ends with hope. What is God saying to you tonight? That his love for you will never cease. That his mercy towards you will never come to an end. and that He is completely faithful. And see, we go through times of suffering, and I don't want to minimize it at all. Even as believers, we suffer in great ways. People sin against us. People hurt us. We hurt ourselves. And yet, God is never silent. He is saying to you, I love 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 you. And I will be merciful to you. And again, and again, and again, and again, and again. And it's never going to stop because I am a faithful God. And when I say God is silent, maybe what I mean to be saying is I demand that He give me an answer to what has taken place or perhaps not taken place in my life. But beloved, we have no right to do that. We have no right. We are the creatures. We are not the Creator. We have no right to demand that. And so if I take just this one simple yet profound question, is God ever silent? I think a good summary is this. He may not answer our questions, but He always has something to say. And He says it again and again and again and again. And what is He saying? Well, just the Lamentations 3 text. I love you. And I will never stop loving you. And I am merciful to you. And I will never stop being merciful to you. Never. Because I'm a faithful God. So, in conclusion, is God ever silent? And as I thought about it, I thought, maybe. Maybe one time. Maybe on Calvary. If you would say, Greg, I think there are times where God is silent, I would say, okay. When Jesus hung on a cross, he quoted from Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. Well, my God, I cry day by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I have no rest. And as you know, as we had during our scripture reading tonight, Jesus quoted from that. I read Matthew 27, 45 through 46. From the sixth hour, darkness fell upon all the land until the ninth hour, those 3 hours. Here Jesus is suffering on the cross during this period of darkness. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? If you wanted to say, has there ever been a time when God was silent? Perhaps right then, as the wrath of a holy God toward your sin was put on the Savior, and the one who never sinned struggled and suffered on that cross and bled and died for my sin and your sin and the sin ultimately of all who would put saving faith in this wonderful gospel message. In summary tonight, here's the answer, the best I know from Scripture. God may not answer our questions, but He always has something to say. And for those of you who especially maybe are going through a really challenging time in life, there is always a message from God to you. He loves you. He is merciful to you. And that will never stop. And if you say, Greg, I kind of wonder why things happen. I too wonder why things happen. And you say, I kind of wish I knew. I too wish I kind of knew. And you say, I've actually asked, Lord, if it pleases you, would you be okay telling me? I too pray prayers like that. And you say, but no, I demand that he tell me. And the only biblical response to that would be, Lord, forgive me. I forgot who you were. I repent. And praise God, he forgives.